Hey, I was telling you about Big Jim, the bodyguard. He was telling me when we were going out of that place, he was saying, man, Tony, you really put that guy on a trip. I mean, all those people in that room are going to be mumbling to themselves. They're all going to have to go to a mental institution for rehabilitation. And I said, wait a minute, Jim, that really happened to me. And he says, get out of here. Why would God talk to you? And I said, look, I don't know why, but I know he did, okay? Now, if I'm smart enough to put everybody in this world on a trip with all these different people that I've done traumas for, and a lot of them, I said, to me, some of them were, okay, you know, Sonny Bono never used to run records for us. Nobody thought he could sing, you know? And it really surprised me when Brian Stone and Charlie Green came to me to do his promotion. I says, why? What is he doing? He said, well, he's got a number one hit record with this girl, Cher. Or the, you know, I says, get out of here, Sonny. And he said, well, he's got a number one hit record. I said, what's the name of it? I says, I Got You, Babe. And so they want me to do this promo for Cher, who had a record on her own on Liberty, which is called All I Want to Do Is Be Friends With You. And the Byrds had the same record, and they were about 8 notches ahead on the charts ahead of Cher. And so what I did, I hope the Byrds don't get upset with me, but I made it to where the Cher became up above them. And the Byrds had a number one record too, Mr. Tambourine Man. It was number 2 at the time, and Sonny and Cher were number 1. And so here, Cher's record shot up to number 1, and I Got You, Babe was number 2, and that's what made them the phenomenon. That's why I say I did their promotion. And I never had met Cher, but Sonny and I were good, you know, knew each other very well because we were in the same office together, and we talked a lot all the time. But I met Cher at the Jacob Javits Center not long ago, and she said, yeah, Sonny used to talk about you all the time. And I was with Sonny and Mary Bono, who she's now a congressman or a senator, I don't know, up in their room in New York City, because Sonny stated we were in BB Sportswear in Hawaii, and we saw these great jackets there. He says, I looked at the label and says, Tony Alamo of Nashville. She said, no, this can't be the same guy. He's putting all these gospel tracks out and everything like that. So he called my phone at the hotel where I was staying. It was the Plaza Hotel in New York. And he says, hi, Tony. He says, I just got in town. This is Sonny. And he says, give me a buzz. You know, we saw your jackets in BB Sportswear, and I'm here for Phil Spector to do a tribute to him. And so I thought Phil was in the, you know, was in a mental institution. And so I called him up, and he said, can you come over? And I said, yeah. He says, bring some of your jackets with you. So I brought a bunch of people from the church up there in his hotel room. I said, can I bring some of my friends up? He said, sure, bring them up. And he showed me his little baby boy, Cesare. And so Big Jim, the one that said, Tony, what do you put these guys on a trip? I got him a job driving the limousine for Sonny and Cher right after, because I just completely gave up the entertainment industry after this tremendous just revelation from the Lord. And since then, I have seen the Lord Jesus Christ with my eyes wide open, and I've had many other dreams, visions, signs, and wonders. We've been attacked. All these Alexanders, the coppersmiths, the whole world is resisting this gospel that we preach, and they're resisting it to their own damnation in hell. Don't you know that if you resist the Lord, that your soul is going to spend eternity in the lake of fire, where you're going to be screaming your head off forever? Is it worth it not to investigate the Bible? Pick up the Bible, the King James Version, or if you have questions to ask, hey, I've been in the ministry almost 43 years this coming September, and I'll be glad to sit down with you and tell you all the different things. Now, they've brought the world government, which is headed by Rome, and it's not just a national thing. I hear this ad on your station over there, the station that I'm now on, that, you know, this is not national. They're against this national thing where they're taking over everything. This is the Vatican. The Bible said so. The God said so. You smarter than God? Please, you know, wise up, wake up. It's not just federal. It's the entire world. The governments of every world are under the control. And what some of the last bastions that they have here is like Iraq, Iran, and the Vatican is using our troops to go over there to bomb them and to suppress them and make them a democracy. Now, this political situation called democracy comes out of Rome. There have been many different ways that people have tried to conduct themselves in a secular manner down through the years, and so Rome devised democracy. Of the people, by the people, and for the people. And this would seem good because all of us can be God. You know, whatever we want, we can be. Okay, you don't believe this way, I don't. It's just a matter of your opinion. Everybody has their own opinion. But you can't, this is not theocracy. T-H-E-O. Theocracy? The Lord is a dictator, and, you know, he's a good dictator. Satan is a dictator, but primarily God is the dictator. Now, God gives everybody their own will. That's located in your soul. And he says he wants to see if people will listen, continue listening to Satan, as Eve did in the Garden of Eden, then Adam. Or else are they going to believe me, God, who fills the universe and who has already condemned this world again. He condemned it during the time of Noah, the flood, and he condemned all the cities of the plain, Sodom, Gomorrah, and other cities there, and burnt them to a crisp and sent their souls to hell. And because of the fact that Lot's wife look back at, the world, it's so wonderful here. Once you know the Lord for any period of time, you're going to know that this world is nothing. Because everything is temporal here. Everything has to die. And eventually, this world is going to burn up. And you say, oh, sweet Jesus. And these new Bibles have changed it to where there's no condemnation. You know, you can live as you will, because after all, aren't you God? Satan says, ye shall be like God, you humans. But how could we humans be God when God created us out of the dirt of the ground? You know, what we need to do is come back to earth. We need to humble ourselves and say, no, we're not gods. We're made out of dirt. That's the spirit in us is going to spend eternity somewhere. And therefore, we have to humble ourselves before God and say, God, you're God. And Jesus, there's no one that can get to the throne of God and to have eternal life unless God, in his Son, Christ Jesus, moves into us. Now, Jesus resurrected and ascended into heaven. And he became, the Bible says, the only life-giving spirit. Jesus said, I am the Alpha, the Omega. He also says, I'm the beginning, the end. I am the way to heaven, the truth of how to get to heaven, and I am life. I am the Word of God. And when you say you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that means that you believe Jesus. I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, the entire Word of God, and thou shalt be saved. Well, how could we know the whole world of the Word of God? It's the only way you can, are able to do that is when you study the whole Word of God instead of putting your whole life into going to these universities to learn some craft, some trade. Because that trade isn't going to do you any good if you die. A lot of people have gone to universities, they've got all these different certificates, diplomas and all that, and they walk across the street, get hit by a bus, and they're right there before the Lord. And they're not saved. Or a lot of people, you know, I knew a mortician used to come into our restaurant in Elma, Arkansas. And he told me, he says, we get people coming into that mortuary, that's stiffs that come in all night. Most of them die in their sleep. They drown from their own vomit because they eat before they go to bed. And what happens is that vomit comes up into their throats and their nostrils and drowns them in their own vomit. And they never realized before they ate their Moo Goo Guy pan or their Kentucky Fried Chicken or whatever that they were going to die that night. And all of a sudden, one of the drumsticks comes up in the puke and stifles them, okay? So we never know when we're going to go out to meet the Lord, amen?
Amen.
So, that means that we really, need to pay more attention to God than anything else on this earth. And when people get their minds on the Lord, they have perfect peace and a sound mind after they've received the Spirit of God into their spirit. Now, God said that this is His plan, and He makes a promise to us. He says, you're going to die. There's no promise that you're going to live another day, but there's a promise for sure that you're going to die. And whether you want to or not, you're going to stand before Him for judgment. But if you accept the Lord in your heart, you're going to stand before the mercy seat of Christ. Now, in your soul, you have an option. You know, I can accept this, or else, hey, you know, I like getting loaded. I like fornicating. I like being a homosexual. You know, these are things that you're tossing back for. I like it so much, after all, we're only going to live once. No, this is this space of time that we have here is just the dressing room for eternity. We're going to go out eventually, and it might be tonight. The man from Edwards Funeral Home in Van Buren, Arkansas, told me that they come in, young people, they died because they just loaded their stomach, their guts full of food just before they went to sleep. Their God is their belly. They can't stop from, and they want to eat some more. They like to go to different places. They like to travel. We haven't seen the world yet. We haven't done the things that we want to do. We're studying to be a pilot. We're studying to be a neurosurgeon. We're studying to be all these different things. And all of a sudden, the bus hits you, or you just die in your own puke, or some other way. A car runs into you. Sanford, our driver, was coming to pick us up to take us to the eye doctor in another town, another city, and somebody sabotaged our brakes. They were brand new brakes. Brand new motor, brand new everything, generator, air conditioning in that bus. It was an old bus made in Switzerland, made out of steel. And just the three entrances before he got here, came from Nashville, Tennessee, he lost his brakes and went into a ditch. And the ditch was bigger than he thought. It shattered on the whole front windows, totaled the bus completely. And so he thought he was going to die right then. But if he did, he's saved. He'd be in heaven. What about you, though? What about you? I'm going to give some of the people here. I've invited some people from the church over here tonight. I'm going to let some of them, because I've been talking here for about around an hour and 15 minutes thereabouts, and I'm going to have some of them come and give their testimony, and for take about two or three minutes each, because I believe the Lord, or however long the Lord gives me. So, let's see. Richard, do you want to come in for two or three minutes?
Yes, sir.
If you go any longer, then I'll give you a judo chop, okay?
Okay.
Okay, sit down there, please.
I've had the privilege of knowing Pastor Alamo and his late wife, Susan, for over 36 years now.
Have you been in the church that long?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
And before I met the people from this ministry, my understanding of religion was so wrong that I had nothing to do with it. The various churches that I'd attended growing up and the people that I met that tried to tell me about their religion or their church, there was no life in the words that they spoke. They didn't have the Holy Spirit. And if they did, they didn't know how to convey that to a lost sinner. I was raised in Detroit, Michigan. That metropolitan area's got millions of people, and there's thousands of churches, and I never heard the full gospel. When it was my time to hear the truth, and the Lord knew I had a heart that would respond, He felt led to bring me across the United States to Hollywood, California, where this ministry was out in the streets daily. I wasn't about to go into a church. I'd been turned off by the churches. And
well, we were in the streets, but we also had a church, too, right?
Oh, amen.
We were in the church and on the streets and hopefully everywhere. We're coming through your windows, just like the Bible says.
They were in the streets casting their spiritual nets, what the scriptures say, and telling people to come into the house of God. And it was in their church was in North Hollywood at that time. And I went to services there one Sunday afternoon.
West Hollywood.
And I heard Pastor Alamo preach a message in the power of the Holy Spirit. And the measure of faith that God puts into every man and woman's heart was quickened in me that day, because I heard the words of truth mingle with the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God and Pastor Alamo mingled with his spirit, was able to reach out and touch my spirit. And I became convicted of my sins, and I knew what he was saying was the truth. And the Holy Spirit compelled me to go forward that afternoon, and I said a simple sinner's prayer, a prayer of belief in the Lord Jesus Christ and the blood that he shed for my sins, and a prayer of repentance. I acknowledged who he was and that I needed him to escape the wrath of a burning hell that my sins had determined that I would go to. And the Lord didn't turn me down. The Lord applied his blood to my spirit and washed all my sins away and made me a vessel that his Holy Spirit could inhabit. And that afternoon, his Holy Spirit came down into me and filled me up with his life. And I've been alive for 36 years now, and he's given me the power to continue in him, to maintain my salvation through the instruction in this ministry from the pastor, and to, on a daily basis, refill myself with that Holy Spirit. Just like food for your body needs to be maintained and refilled every day, we need the Holy Spirit, our spiritual food, on a daily basis. And I found this is the best place I've ever found to receive that. I'm alive in Christ today because of the faithfulness of Tony and Susan Alamo, and that they never gave up. No matter how tough the things got, they had God with them. They had the victory. And they're going to go on, Tony and this ministry, to win the world for Christ. I didn't even know there was over 200 countries in the world, but this ministry is into over 200 countries, delivering a spiritual message that's winning souls on a daily basis. And I thank God that I was one of them. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise the Lord. Thanks a lot, Richard. This is, yeah, there's many people that have stayed, you know, for over 36, 37 years at this church. And then there's a lot of them that have fell away. And I knew they were born again of the Spirit. That's for sure they were born again of the Spirit. And therefore, I know that the false prophets are preaching once saved, always saved. This is the Baptist and Catholic doctrine. You know, you can go out. I had a person in this house the other day who stated that he believed that, you know, once you're saved, you can go out and murder somebody every day of your life, or you can go steal things, and it looks like the mafia, you know. And I said, you know, the very thing that's coming out of your mouth is the voice of the Antichrist, because you're totally against what Christ says. Well, anyway, here's another testimony. God gave me another wife, and she's also a Jewish. Come over here, Sharon. And she was what they call bat mitzvah. There's a bar mitzvah, and the women is what? What do you call it?
Bat mitzvah.
Bat mitzvah. And you were bat mitzvah?
Yes.
Okay. You were sure of that?
Yes.
Okay. Then if you were bat mitzvah, you know, you ever hear anybody speak Hebrew, go ahead and say the Shema. That means what? What does that Shema mean?
Hear. And that's the beginning of the prayer in chapter 6 of Deuteronomy.
Well, it says, Hear, O Israel, I am the Lord thy God. Okay, well, go ahead and say it in Hebrew so let everybody know that we're not jiving around here.
Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, Baruch Shem Kvod, Malchuto Le'olam Vayed, Ve'ahavta Et Adonai, V'chol Levavcha, V'chol Nafshecha, V'chol Me'odecha, V'chayu Hadavarim Ha'ela, Asher Anochi Mitzaveich Hayom.
Okay, so, you know, this is the time when God is calling the Jews back, amen?
Amen.
The end of the Gentile dispensation was in 1947 when God returned the Jews to Israel, not Palestine. Don't you Jews ever say Palestine. You're defeating your own purpose. Remember, I was one of the, probably the top promotion person in the world, and you're tearing yourself down when you call it Palestine. God, it's like you're saying the Word of God has turned the place over to the Arabs, the Palestinians. And I know that you don't care if they live there, but they live there in Israel, not Palestine, all right? I'm for everybody being saved. I wouldn't be against them. Well, anyway, Sharon, tell them your testimony.
Okay. I was raised as a Jew in California. I was raised hypocritically because I was taught ritual. I was taught to do things, but it wasn't in my heart. It didn't matter what we did inwardly. It was what you did outwardly. And I knew at a very young age that saying prayers in Hebrew that I knew nothing of what I was speaking didn't really make any sense. Eventually, at 22, I realized that I didn't have the truth because a terrible feeling came over me that I was actually doomed. And as I thought about it, I realized the whole world seemed to be doomed. And it was a feeling I could not shake. All material things that were once seemingly important to me, and I had all these goals, but they all faded away. They didn't mean anything. I had to know the truth. Some lasting truth existed, and I determined in my heart to find out. And very shortly after this feeling began in my heart, someone from the Tony Alamo Christian Ministries witnessed to me, and for the first time, I heard that there were actual signs written in the Bible thousands of years ago, prophecies that were coming true in my day. And I was so shocked to know that nobody had ever told me all my life. And when I saw that the things in the Bible were actually before my eyes, such as smoke over the cities, wars and rumors of wars, earthquakes in diverse places, then
all these diseases and the sicknesses and infirmities, amen?
Amen. Such pestilence, I realized that there was more to the Bible than I knew. I thought they were just a lot of Bible stories, and of course, only the Old Testament was ever shown to me. The New Testament, I never, ever opened. And at this point, I was led to come up to the church that Tony had up on Sierra Highway in Saugus, California.
Right, but you know that the Jews, you really didn't read the Old Testament that much, did you?
No.
If you would have, it's like Paul said, the oracles, in other words, the plan of salvation, was right there in the Old Testament. And any Jew that really reads their Bible, they go in and they say the Shema, you know, and all these other things, but they don't read the Bible, and therefore they don't see the plan of salvation in the Old Testament. But if you, you know, really would have studied that Old Testament, like Paul said, these oracles were given. What prophet is there in being a Jew is great or much in every respect, because it was to the Jews that God gave the plan of salvation, the oracles of God, the Old Testament, in the first place. Okay, excuse me for the interruption, but I just had to, because a lot of you say, yeah, you know, we know the Old Testament. They don't really read it, do they?
No, they don't. And for sure, the veil, the spiritual veil that God says is over the eyes of the Jew, over their heart, was upon me, to where even when I read, it was just like a storybook to me. It never cut through, and I never got any meaning out of it. So at this point, my spiritual blindness started leaving, and I started to see the truth for the first time. When I went up to the church and I prayed a sinner's prayer of repentance, I asked Jesus to come into my heart, and he did that. Just before this time was when I cried out to God for a sign, because I was told that the Jews, that it said this in the Bible, the Jews require a sign, and that if I would ask God sincerely to show me, that he would make himself known to me that he truly was the Son of God, that Jesus was the Messiah that was promised. And when I cried out to God from my heart, he actually gave me a supernatural sign. And there was like a rushing, mighty wind that poured through the room where I was and through me and took my breath away. And it was very frightening, terrifying, but it was a direct, instantaneous answer to my question. And I knew for sure that Jesus was the Son of God, the Messiah. And so after that point, when I was born again of the Spirit, I repented of my sins, and God showed me that I needed to leave California, leave my old ways, my old life completely behind, and come out to Arkansas, which is where I went to the church Tony had out there. And when I walked through...
No, not me. God had the church there.
God had established the church there, and I went into that church. I knew I was home. I've been rooted and grounded here 27 years now. I am so thankful to God that he showed me a place preaching the pure, true doctrine of the Lord, nothing added to, nothing taken away from the Bible. And I'm very, very thankful for my husband, who has kept me and strong and led me and guided me on my way to the kingdom of heaven. I really thank God for this chance to share this with everyone.
Praise the Lord. Well, this is Tony Alamo. We've got another half hour to go, and it looks like they're going to be breaking here any second. If you want to look at our website, it's you just get on the where is it? Yeah, it's alamoministries.com. www.alamoministries.com. And there's hundreds of pieces of literature there, and hundreds of pieces, different messages that I've given down through the years. I've actually done thousands of messages, even when they put me in the prison for the gospel. They railroaded me, the government, the Vatican. I still brought messages in there. And really, I mean, I'm legally blind, you know. I mean, I still see to get around and everything, but I'm legally blind. And if I can do it, I'm sure you could too. We're going to follow a couple of more testimonies here, but it's almost on the half hour. I don't know when the music starts, but when it does, we'll be getting off. I'm going to call right now, Mary White, the wine that got in the wreck the other day. So I'll be talking to you. This is Tony Alamo, sitting in for Church of the Master. Don't go away.
Fight the fight. We are here to equip you. Because you love the truth, LibertyRadioLive.com. If you'd like to get a copy of this program, there are a few ways that we can help you. You may subscribe at LibertyRadioLive.com for only $45 a month. And you'll receive an MP3 CD weekly of all the First Amendment Rights Media Group programs. As a bonus, we'll send you a password for our audio archives online. That's a $15 value. Or you can request any month of any program on one MP3 CD for a minimum donation of only $20. Or any single program on tape, MP3 CD, or CD for only $15. You can do all this online at LibertyRadioLive.com. Just follow the instructions to make a donation or subscribe. Don't do internet? Then call 559-781-3773, 559-781-3773, and we'll be honored to help you. Thank you from all of us here at the First Amendment Rights Media Group.
Now listen to me. The Bible says, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. I want you to know that a corporation is Caesar.
Government takeover of the church. This DVD is the most powerful tool we have for waking up those asleep in the pews. The scripture calls for his people to come out of her. The corporate church is the apostate church, the whore that rides the beast. Make copies and give them away to your corporate church friends and loved ones. The truth will make them free. They will watch the DVD, Government Takeover of the Church. Who will tell them if not you? Get this DVD for a donation of $25 from LibertyRadioLive.com. Order online today or call 559-781-3773.
Now listen to me.
If you read the history books, the most often asked question to Southerners was this: why did you fight? And the most often given answer is, because you're here. In other words, the South did not invade the North invaded the South.
Was it the Civil War or War of Federal Aggression? John Weaver sets the record straight in this DVD series on the Civil War from the Old Pass Christian History Conference. Was there a war to set the slaves free? Or was it a war to enslave us all? Get this DVD and judge for yourself. War of Federal Aggression. The truth seems strange only because we've been indoctrinated with a fiction. War of Federal Aggression. Get it today. Get this DVD for a donation of $25 from LibertyRadioLive.com. Order online today or call 559-781-3773. 559-781-3773.
Some of them are living an illusion, bounded by the darkness of their minds. In their eyes is nation against nation, against nation, with racial pride.
All right, praise the Lord. This is Tony Alamo again, world pastor. And, you know, I was hearing the corporate body of the church. Actually, the corporate body of Antichrist is the Catholic cult, the world government, not just the federal government here. It's this world government. I mean, it's a world, one world government, and the one world, all the ones that the different supposed to be churches have associated themselves with this political monetary giant from Rome. And the media, that's the corporate body of Antichrist. Now, the corporate body of Christ is one body. It's Christ himself and all of those of us that have asked Christ to come into us and that we went into Christ. We're to allow ourselves to be nailed to the cross. The Lord tells us, come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, all of those of you that are heavy laden with fears and sickness, disease, infirmities, with all the different things that occur in this world, that you have no peace about death, hell, eternity, you don't know where you're going. But the Bible plainly tells us if you're saved, you're going to heaven. But we become the corporate body of Christ. That is the true church. You've got the true church, and then you've got the corporate Antichrist supposed to be church. It's a cult. And just recently, that cult leader, the Pope, Ratzinger, has stated in the media that is the only church. It is the only church, right, if you want to go to hell. Believe because they're totally contrary to the word of God. They have taken one of the commandments away, that you're not supposed to bow down before statues. You're not even supposed to make an image of anything in heaven or on earth. And here the place is just, that's just one of the things. The worst thing that they do is they spread their false, poisonous doctrine that causes your soul to go to hell. And they murder. They have murdered hundreds of millions of people. And they're continuing to do the same thing. To please the devil, they marched on Waco, and they killed all those innocent people. To this day, no one can say anything that they did wrong. Mohammedism, or the Muslim religion, is one of the other many branches of the Vatican, and they're using the Muslims to caused all these different crimes all over the world. They are the ones that, with our own government agents, which are actually Rome's government agents, to destroy the federal building, to wipe out the people at Waco. These are things that are right under your nose that you've seen them do. They've been murdering millions of Chinese Christians all over the world. But it's not just the federal government, folks. I mean, it's the Roman Catholic canon government that's in this government, and they're doing everything they can to get into other governments. So they make up all kinds of lies, like one of the recent ones that everybody knows, unless you're about 4,500 points lower than plant life, is that the Iraq people had weapons of mass destruction. Folks, we're the only ones that have weapons of mass destruction, and the Vatican is using our troops to muscle people into this one world antichrist machine of Satan, the corporate body of the Bible calls the antichrist. Okay, well, Terry White is here. She's the wife of Sanford White that was bringing the bus in, and he said that the brakes were absolutely brand new, and somebody had snipped the brakes, like they, more than likely, that everybody was suspicious that Princess Grace, that's what happened to her brakes, for some reason, possibly they want to get rid of her. I know sometimes men get tired of their wives, but if you get tired of your wives, for heaven's sake, don't murder people. And you women out there that are killing your husbands in the middle of the night because they did something to you, possibly you committed adultery. In the Bible, it says that if you commit adultery, the Bible says you're to be stoned to death. But we don't do that anymore. We don't use weapons of mass destruction or even guns, bullets, bombs, tanks, planes. What we do is if I had a wife that committed adultery on me, I'd just put her out of the house. Okay, I wouldn't have anything to do with her. I wouldn't forgive her because only God can forgive sin. I mean, that kind of sin, any kind of sin, even sins of ignorance. Only God can do that. We can forgive people if we've offended them some way. That for sure was, but we can't forgive sin. So all the false prophets are telling you that you should go pick up garbage. Now, I saw Johnny Appleseed, who I call him. What's his name? You know, when I call Johnny Appleseed, from he's got this huge ministry. Joel Osteen. He's saying that we're Christians are supposed to pick up garbage, and Joyce Meyer says she was in a restroom and she saw paper towels and she was going to leave the restroom after she washed her hands and her coffee was getting cold. And she says, well, would the Lord pick up this trash? I don't think so. Jesus, didn't pick up trash, okay? He picked up trashy human beings after they got saved, but he didn't go around being a garbage man. And so, you know, these false prophets are just so irritating to me. You can't turn on the TV. I'd rather turn on Lassie or Bozo or somebody. At least you know they're, fictitious. All right, Terry, she's going to give her testimony here. Take about 2 or 3 minutes because we're getting pretty short on time here in this other, so they want to call. Okay, Terry?
Praise the Lord. I am so thankful for God's great and mighty manifold promises that we can lean on Him and we can look to Him in these dark hours of time. And it's not only dark, but it's a time of excitement because we see all the promises of God and His words is coming to pass. And I am so thankful to be alive to these because I spent many years dead. I mean, totally dead to the Word of God, dead to the voice of God, dead to I had no hearing ear, no seeing eyes. I was just covered in darkness, even though I had a very good family unit, parents and loved ones that loved me, but they could not prepare me for the assaults that Satan had in store for me. I knew nothing about the blood of Jesus, the plan of salvation. All I knew about was religion, and when I was very young, a beloved grandmother gave me my first Bible. And I read in the scriptures of the Bible in the New Testament the impact that Jesus had upon people's lives and how that they were touched and they were never the same again. And I did not see this in my surroundings. But what I saw in my surroundings was absolute turmoil and hatred. And I could actually feel this hatred being fostered in my heart and in my soul and in my mind and the schooling that we were taught. And this went on until the next thing I knew, I was in drugs. I was in crime. I was in alcohol. I was in all these horrible things, and I had no power over any of it.
How long have you been saved now?
I have been saved for going in November will be 37 years.
Oh, praise the Lord. What's the church?
Tony Alamo Christian Ministries.
Right. Which was actually Tony and Susan Alamo, yes. Foundation Incorporated. Amen.
Absolutely. And if it wasn't for that ministry almost 37 years ago, out on the streets of Hollywood, and Sunset Strip, I would have never been saved because I had purposed in my heart to never go into any churches, any ministries, because I saw no demonstration of God, no evidence of God in any person I met. But when the new converts, Tony and Susan, had been trained and they won to the Lord, were out on the streets, and they looked like hippies, but there was an error about them. It was a spirit about them. There was a boldness about them that I could not resist, and they compelled me to come into the ministry. Even though I was filled with doubt and I was filled with confusion, when I came into the church that night in Crescent Heights, it was just bristling with the Spirit of God, and people from all over the world. There were people from England, people from France, people from Spain. There were people, like a cross-section of people, people that were studying to be doctors, little old ladies out of dead churches that were coming there for revival. There were hippies. There were people on their way to kill somebody, and they got saved, and I heard all these dynamic testimonies. And then Pastor Tony gave the message from the scriptures that made so much sense, so much common sense, and so real. He unfolded it to me like it was just a perfect plan, and I could not resist the Spirit of God that was there. My heart was broken, and I just fell on my face before God, and Pastor Tony led me through an old-fashioned sinner's prayer, and I met my Savior that night. My sins were washed away. I felt the blood of Jesus make me new and gave me the most precious gift I could ever have, forgiveness of God. And not only was I saved that night, but they pointed me right to the Savior, Jesus Christ, and that I had to, the scriptures as they are, that we must have a duty before God to lay down our life, to pick up our cross, and follow Jesus Christ. And that's the doctrine, the full gospel, the simplicity of the gospel that has been preached unto us from day one. And I am so thankful for this ministry and a pastor and that has laid down his life to teach us the oracles of God, that we could learn how to be overcoming Christians and in turn go out and win this world for Christ.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Thank you.
Praise the Lord.
Isn't it wonderful? Glory to God. All right, now, you know, like they're saying, the federal government. The Bible says that we are to give all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind to the Lord, to God. And so it says, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar, that belongs to Caesar, and that what we render unto God, that which belongs to God. Well, again I say, what belongs to God? All of your heart, all of your soul, all of your mind, and all of your strength. What does that leave for Caesar? One person here said nothing. Does everybody agree with that?
Yeah.
Amen. Well, the Lord says, give them tax. And that's what I did, but they still railroaded me, so he really, anybody that gives their life to what they call the federal government, which is really the one world government, which is Roman canon law, anybody that does that, you better pull out of that, you know, because we've been told, you know, that we have to abide by the laws of the land, but certainly not when the laws of the land are that you can commit abortion, which is first degree murder, and when there's no retribution. If a woman that commits adultery and a man slaps her, the Bible says that people are to deserve stripes, you know. That's why they want to do away with the Bible. God doesn't make women more powerful or more blessed than man. We're all going to be judged the same way, amen?
Yeah.
And the Bible plainly states that the women, you know, that she's the one that committed the first sin. Amen?
Yeah.
So all of us have to go to hell because of what a woman did. But, I mean, God is going to take care of a lot of these bad women that are committing adultery, and when their husband slaps them, instead of sending them out of the house, what I would do is, you know, you guys out there, don't slap them around, don't beat them, because this Antichrist government will, you know, probably put you to death one of these days if you even, you know, touch a woman with your finger. You know, slap her on the head with your little finger or something like that. Don't do that. Just send her away. Amen?
Amen.
If she commits adultery, you know, and they say, forgive her. You can't forgive sin. Only God can forgive sin. Another thing, too, is that, you know, even if you thought you could forgive him, I certainly wouldn't crawl back in the sack with her, because you're going to pick up AIDS, and God knows, you know, but all the other type of venereal diseases I wouldn't have. There's just no way that a real godly person would keep a woman that had committed adultery on him. Okay, now you've got about 2 or 3 minutes. Here's Gerard Demelin. And God, how long have you been saved, Gerard?
21 years. Sir.
21 years? Well, God got you out of New Orleans in time, didn't he?
Sure did.
All right, praise the Lord.
Amen. I was raised in a Roman Catholic family in New Orleans, Louisiana. And I believed in God as a young boy. I believed that there was God in heaven. I believe that there was the devil in hell. And in the Catholic Church, they also told us this big lie about this non-existent place called purgatory. In the Catholic Church, they did not have a Bible. I didn't know anything about the Bible. Growing up as a boy, I didn't know anything about being born again of the Spirit of God. Those things were not taught in the Catholic Church. I was taught to go to school and get a good education, and as time went on with my life and in school, I started playing sports. I started playing music as a young boy. And as time went on, around 1969, 1970, in that era of time, I was in high school. And the Vietnam War was going on. The drugs were coming in. And my experimentation with drugs caused me addiction. Not only myself, but many, many friends of mine. And this movement was going on all over the world with the drugs coming in. And that continued in my life for a long time, using drugs, selling drugs, and all of the basic goodness that I was taught by my parents coming up as a youth just totally went down the drain. I started hanging out with the wrong crowd, doing things that I never dreamed that I would do in my life. But thank God in 1986, when I was in Los Angeles, California, completely strung out on drugs, that people from the Tony and Susan Alamo Christian Foundation were out on the street with the gospel of Jesus Christ, distributing gospel literature and preaching Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And on June 23rd of 1986, I met one of the sisters out on the street. The Lord, by the Holy Spirit, drew me to her face to face, and she preached the gospel to me. And God came down in the spirit and made me to know that if I died in the state that I was in, which was a state of sin, that my soul would burn in hell. And she and I knelt down on the corner of 15 Broadway, downtown Los Angeles, and I asked Jesus Christ to wash my sins away, and He did just that. I asked Him to come into my heart as my personal God and Savior, and He did that. I was instantaneously saved. I was instantaneously cured of my drug addiction. And later on that evening, I went to the Tony and Susan Alamo Christian Foundation, where I heard Pastor Tony Alamo for the first time in my life preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And God made me to know this man is of me, and what he's saying is truth. It's truth. It's truth. And Pastor Alamo was simply preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit. And after service that night, June 23rd of 1986, I met Pastor Tony Alamo, and he gave me permission to move into this ministry if I truly wanted to lay down my life and serve the Lord, if I truly wanted to learn the Bible and learn to go out on the streets and witness and testify. It's been 21 wonderful years. God has given me a love to read the Word of God, to witness and testify, and I wouldn't trade one moment of my Christian life for anything out there in the world. Praise the Lord and thank you.
Praise the Lord. Thank you very much, sir. Glory to God. All right. Well, now, you know, there's all kinds of things. If you're a Jew, you can pray to the Lord and ask Him, Lord, if what the people are saying here tonight are true, give me a sign, just like Sharon said. And just like many Jews have said, and God promises the Jew that He'll give you some kind of a sign. I don't know, and the Lord gave me a sign. He came right down and talked to me, and He also showed me who I was supposed to be married to back then in visions. And He showed her, she was 9 years older than me, that we were to be married. And I just never believed that that could happen. But at any rate, you don't have to see signs or visions or see dreams or anything like that to be saved. You can just call out to the Lord and ask Him, Father God, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. I believe He died on the cross and shed His precious blood for the forgiveness of all my former sins. And I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all my former sins away in Your precious blood. And I know that You won't turn me away. I know You've heard me. I know You've answered me. Your word says that everyone that calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And, you know, I realize that there's a lot of patriotic people out there, and you know that there's something going on in this in the United States and all over the world. But you're really not able to put your finger on it. You think it's the AACLU. That's one of the branches of the Vatican. You think it's the Ku Klux Klan. That's one of them, too. And a lot of you people probably belong to the Ku Klux Klan. I used to, Sue got me involved with the John Birch Society. That's part of the Vatican, too. They wanted everybody to get their mind off of Roman Catholicism. And the Catholics, the Vatican, that was doing, were doing all the things that they're doing in this world, and they wanted you to think there was a commie under your bed or up in your attic with their boots on. And so all the different distractions that you see in this world today are to get your mind, because there's people like my like myself, for instance, that pull the sheets and blankets off of that evil organization, this political and monetary monster that is either endorses politicians or they tear them down. And it doesn't make any difference to me. You have to play ball with the Vatican if you want to be anything. If you start crossing them like Kennedy did, they'll have you put to death so fast it'll make your head swim. But one thing for sure, you know, it doesn't make any difference what you've done in your life. If you will ask the Lord to come into your heart and to wash all your sins away and give you an opportunity, the minute you ask him to come into your heart, the minute you say that prayer, you'll feel the Spirit of God enter into your soul, and you'll feel, it'll seem like there was tons of bricks. That's what it felt like to me. Just being cut off of you. You just feel like your life, and that you feel that Holy Spirit in you, and you feel Jesus. When that happened to me, I started weeping. Here, I'm not a weeper, believe me. I'm not the type of person that cries or anything like that. It has to really be something very moving to do that to me. But my eyes became like rivers, and it was like tears of happiness, joy, because I knew that there was something other than this world. I knew that God was up there, and I felt him enter into me. He's not just up there. He's not just beside us, but he now lives within us. And it's taken me a lot of years to get that across to all these TV evangelists. Now they're all saying it, and that really makes me happy. I feel that whatever I tell the media or the people in the evangelical society, and they start saying it, to me, it's just like Samson used to do. He would tie firebrands onto the tails of the foxes and send all the foxes into the cornfields, and would burn down the cornfields of the Philistines. And the Philistines, the Palestinians, these Palestinians are, some of them are the nicest people I've ever met in my life, but the Vatican is stirring them up, stirring the Palestinians against the Jews, and the Jews don't want any trouble. They want to live in peace. And we Christians want to live in peace. And we pray for all these people that, we know that are doing these things. We pray that their souls will be saved. The Bible says, honor all men. And so I do honor all men, and I preach that the greatest honor, the only real major honor that you can do for anybody is to teach them the Word of God, to lead them to salvation. Praise the Lord. This is Tony Alamo. I see the time is up. And thank you, Greg Szymanski, for inviting me to host your program. God bless all.